Harold, thank you for coming. I know it's been a long few days, and there's another day left, half a day, so I'm excited. This mic's really cool, feels like I need to start singing. So I'm Simon, I like to make stuff, and lately I've been thinking a lot about art and creativity, and I want to share some ideas around building new markets in the arts. I'm going to cover three broad topics in this talk, ideas around new kinds of property rights, and the meat of it will be around generative economies, new ways to generate and co-create art together. And the final one is a bit in the weirder tangent, which is seeing markets as a medium for art. So just before I start, just a caveat, there's been a lot of amazing stuff that's been done in this space. It's not entirely exhaustive. And it's not doing some of the things that have been done so far in the space. Things like secondary sales, which is awesome. Good crowdfunding mechanisms of simpler forms of tokenization. And just thanks to a bunch of people that have written a lot in this space. People like Rob Myers, MP and Stina, Ruth Katlau from Further Field. There's been a lot of people doing amazing things. So let me start with intellectual property. Intellectual property as is, as we understand it today, we all have this idea that whatever we create eventually goes into the public domain. This is for copyright, the case. Eventually, Mickey Mouse will get to the public domain after Disney stops lobbying. And then we also have the principle of patents. Patents are privately exploitable for a while and then becomes be able to be exploited by anyone in the market. Now, the way we design this is that we kind of guess how long people should exploit such intellectual property. In the case of copyright, depends where you're in the world, but maybe think in the US, it's like after you die, plus 70 years or something like that. It's pretty arbitrary when you think about it. So there was some new proposals with regards to asset property ownership by Glenn Weil and Eric Posner from Radical Markets that proposed different ways to acquire property rights. It was initially targeted towards like more traditional asset ownership, but I think it could be applied to intellectual property as well, which essentially creates a market for the ability to privately exploit intellectual property, and if it's not being privately exploited, it goes back into the commons. And this kind of property rights is called Harburger Rights. It's named after Arnold Harburger. And no, it's not Harbinger Rights or Hamburger Rights. It's Harburger Rights. So this guy invented this model where it essentially works as follows. Once you own the property, whatever it is, it's in this case intellectual property, you have to always specify a sale price upon which someone can buy it from that owner, but they can't choose like $5 billion as a price because you have to pay a tax on it based on the price you set. So it means that ideally the price goes towards a level which is fairer market pricing, but the person that owns it, at any point someone can buy from them at their price. So the person that's the owner constantly have to evaluate the price of their asset. So I thought this was a really interesting idea. It's perhaps not readily implementable in the current traditional world, but I thought, why not try and create something like this for digital art collectibles, and why not use this beautiful thing called the blockchain and Ethereum to allow us to experiment with this. So I thought, let's try this out, and I created a project called This Artwork is Always on Sale. And that is the actual artwork itself, and it's self-referential. And I created it, and I launched it in March and April, and there was interest in the artwork, and it's still available to be bought, and it's currently valued at around $40,000. And the great thing about this model is that why I started it is that, like the secondary sale model, where every sale of the artwork generates revenue for the artist, in this case, every second I earn revenue from the fact that someone decides to hold it as a digital collectible. So this is an interesting model, and since then, other people have started using this model in other domains, such as conservation, like you own a digital rhino, and the money you pay gets given to rhino conservation, so it's not like an art piece. But what's interesting about this model and why Harburger Rights were created in the first place is it asks the question, what things ought to be owned in the commons? And I think that's where it gets particularly interesting in the case of Ethereum, because when we look at Ethereum, we often design markets for multiple participants to enter and exit as they wish. So the question becomes, what can we build that ought to be owned in the commons that is related to art? In the past in Ethereum, there have been interesting experiments related to this. I don't think many people might remember this experiment, but it's still running on Ethereum, but it's called The Universe Explodes. And it's a book. It's a book where if you have a copy of the book, there's like a few copies of the book. If you have the book, you have the right to remove some words and write some new words in the book. But you can add less words than you take out. So over time, this universe explodes and the book becomes essentially nothing. So all versions of the book essentially gets written out of existence. So people can buy and sell this book. So that's a good example for me of what commons art can be. With Ethereum, you can buy and sell specific versions of this book. And then we also have things like pixel maps, which is famous on the internet for commons art. Everyone is available to build and edit specific pixels. But none of this currently on the internet is built in such a way that the people who co-created this could actually earn anything from it. It's just a collective experience. But with things like Harvard attacks, through the process of owning maybe specific sections of a pixel map, you could buy and sell and participate and co-create value together. Then there was also projects in the space, things like Solaris, which is incredibly fascinating. I think it's still very unexplored. The ability to co-create stories together, build collective universes, and we've seen in almost any popular media production, there's fan fiction. So much fan fiction. And the process of legitimizing fan fiction as part of the canon of the story hasn't really been done so much, but also just the ability to say to people, let's incentivize the co-creation of art together and collective storytelling. So I think that's still a space that's largely unexplored. The next one I want to touch upon, which is the meat of this talk, is the production of generative economies in art. And I think the most important thing here is we have this economic incentive engines that we build on Ethereum that we could use to incentivize people to generate algorithms to make us go find interesting art, interesting patterns that exist in this, you know, adjacent possible space. And what's been done so far is there's people that have done stuff in this space, which is quite interesting. And it's the following kind of map. It's pre-generated, it's auto-generated. And then the final one, which has started being done, is the incentivization of these kind of generations. So one of the first ones was the project called CryptoPunks. I'm sure some of you might be familiar with this. In CryptoPunks, there were about 10,000 of these created, but they were done randomly. So there's like different parts of the makes of CryptoPunks and put together, and then it was released. So in this case, generative artwork that was pre-generated. Autoglyphs was a similar project by the same guys, where they created 512 generated artworks, but what they did here that was new and different was that they actually put the code to produce the artwork in the smart contract itself. So if you take the specific seed input, there is a Solidity code that will generate these pieces of art. So there's no separate file that lives in IPFS that represents this artwork. It's actually all in Solidity. Then there is a similar project called Generative, which also uses a similar thing to Autoglyphs, produces cake compositions based on a specific hash. And then there was a project called Crypto, which kind of took input from CryptoKitties, where you would have anime characters be able to be combined and bred into new anime characters, and it used machine learning models to generate these new versions of these anime characters. So then in this case, it started combining the fact that if you have one of these, you can generate new ones. Before I get to the Holy Grail, there's another component that's been started, which is the ability to use these collective organizational models, DAOs, to basically incentivize people to produce commission artworks to be created. So here in Ethereum, there was a DAO Saka, sorry, DevCon, there was a DAO Saka experiment. There's also other ones called Trojan DAO, and there's also DAO Vinci. There's several of them ones trying this out where essentially people pull money together, and then commission any artist anywhere in the world to create works together. And when these are sold, some of the money goes back into the DAO. So people can choose proposals to create art together. Now, when you take generative economies, machine learning, algorithmic generation of art, you combine it with DAOs, you get what Trent McGonigal from Ocean calls AI art DAOs. This is where it gets fun and weird and amazing. So essentially, some of the first designs is one design I made called Autonomous. There was a prototype built at ETH Berlin last year, where essentially there's a DAO that creates these digital artworks through a generative algorithm, and then it pays people to improve its algorithm. So over time, you would have new artworks being produced, and it would incentivize software developers to upgrade it to produce new artworks. Perhaps the most interesting one recently that is in production that's really great is Billy when it comes to clovers, which is really great. Just these pictures that you see, if you're not familiar with it, is finished endgames of Othello or Reversi, depending what you call it. And because there's many of them that exist, many end states of this game, you collect the various ones. And because it generates interesting patterns, you could find either some the most sought after ones are the symmetrical ones, because we are humans, we like patterns. But what's great about this example is that it incentivizes people to run these simulations on their computers to generate these interesting versions. And it has a built-in economy behind it where it incentivizes people to go out and generate them through a DAO-like system using Bonding curves. So super, super great experiment, and it's also just really fun. I think they did a really good job with the user experience where they incentivize people to run these things to collect these interesting pieces of work. So this is like the start of something where you start combining everything together, you get quite interesting outcomes. Now, when you combine all these things together, there's still one piece that's kind of missing. And this is where people like Gene Kogan, who created machine learning for artists, started combining all these components together and added one final piece, which is the ability to add a philosophy of mind in the artworks that's being created. And it's a project called Abraham and AI. He's written amazing Medium pieces that describes this whole project. And what it is, you have digital art, crypto economics, machine learning and artificial intelligence, and then philosophy of mind to combine it together to essentially have what, as he describes it, which is a more palatable version, an artist in the cloud. And how it works is where the philosophy of mind comes in, is that the machine learning, or the generative algorithm, is federated. So it's not one person owns the mind of this artist, so it's scattered among many computers. And when artworks are generated, they are put together by these different sets, and the model keeps being improved such that over time, you have this artist creating artworks, software developers improving this artist, it's making money for the people involved, and it ends up being a completely autonomous artificial artist. So I find this extremely, extremely fascinating. I think this is a holy grail of ideas together, where I hope in the next 5 years we will see the first artist that lives out there that is, you know, sells a few million-dollar artworks that we don't quite understand. It's quite a fascinating idea. So Abraham AI exists as a forum, and people can go discuss. Gene comes from the machine learning world, so he's been trying to get these ideas in the crypto economic space, so it's going to get quite interesting. Then the final part, which is perhaps a bit stranger kind of request, not really a request, but I think it's an interesting space to explore, which is looking at markets as a potential medium for art. Just because of the fact that in Ethereum we constantly deal with transactions, like we call transactions, so if it's adapted to social network, we call it a transaction. Everything is about finance. Everything you have to do, you have to pay. There's always a market in everything. But it rarely has markets been seen as an art medium, mostly because we tend to see it as it destroys the value of art sometimes, where people see there's this transaction to this experience and it devalues the experience. But I think in that, we can also create art experiences. And What's interesting is that many people might not realize this, but there is a lot of interesting things to see in markets. And obviously the first one that we are quite familiar with is like traditional technical analysis in artworks. People have these words for these patterns, the descending triangle, the head and shoulders, the various forms of like clouds that you can term various trader terminology that you can see. And people don't just see normal technical analysis in these things, they get creative. You know? It's like, this is a dinosaur movement, which is quite funny. And then there's also just a forum for using markets as protest art. In South Africa, there was a company that was implicated in state capture. And it, when it was done, the company got delisted, but you could still trade in it through paper shares on the side. So this guy thought, you know what? Like, screw this company for doing all the shit that they did in South Africa, and he started trading this beautiful fuck you to the company in protest form. He actually got sued because, like, apparently it was manipulation, but and then like this, the following one is an experiment that I did, and obviously, like, in doing these kind of forms of art experiments, you sometimes wonder if you're just being a pretentious dick, but in this case I thought it was just interesting to try. So my question was, could a prediction market be art? So it is a prediction market itself. So I created one in Borger and asked the community, is this prediction market art? And the outcome would be, if people say yes, it would be art. If people say no, it won't be art. It ran for about a month. Not a lot of people participated, but there were people participating in this. The final outcome was yes. The people that participated thought it was art. But the Borger community thought that this was not a relevant question or an invalid question. So they decided to mark it as invalid. So clearly the question itself is invalid. Like, we shouldn't even be asking if this is the case. So that was just a fun experiment that I enjoyed doing. It's up to you guys to decide whether it's art or not. Then the final two parts is where you combine a market process to create art. One of the interesting ones was the Dada network of artists creating a piece of art during a channel auction. So a channel auction is, you have the rising bids in an English auction and then a buy now price coming down in a Dutch auction. When these two meet in the middle, that's the price that someone pays for this art piece. But what's interesting in their experiment is the art didn't exist before the process started. So during the process of the channel auction, the artwork was created. Because this buy now price comes down over time, it took about 2 hours for the auction to complete. And in that 2 hours, this art, a bunch of artists together created this artwork. And when it was bought, it was shared among all the artists. So it was just an interesting process where during the market process, the artist actually created. And then there was also an experiment from the Convergent team, which essentially created bonding curve billboards, which was this strange experiment where you could buy a piece of ad space when it's under the line in the bonding curve, which is the price doesn't know automated market making mechanism. It's might be meaningless, but I think it's just a good example of experimenting with ways in which you can combine art and markets in the same process. And perhaps in through that way, maybe take control back over the narrative of markets as being necessarily completely negative towards art. That is, I was so worried about not going over time that I was going too fast. I think I have time for like one question. If anyone has something interesting to add, or feel like saying that this is meaningless, maybe.
Can you explain your view as to like what art is?
Do you have 2 hours? Obviously anyone that's created art has thought about it before, and it's like, for me it's just, at the end of the day, art is just another form of language, right? So we try to convey something in a specific form, and sometimes language doesn't help us to do that. So sometimes we need to make music to say something. Sometimes we need to make memes to say something. sometimes we need to write a middle finger onto technical analysis to say something. So yeah, that's my most minimal definition. Yeah. Yeah, so that's part of the process. Like, once success is being created, people go like, this is either going to be the next, like, brilliant artwork, or it's going to not be good. Yeah, and some, obviously, you might also know the artist beforehand, so people might still go, this is going to be good, this is going to be bad, so yeah. And I think one last question.
Could you expand on the autonomous artist AI that what is the philosophy behind it? Is it, are you infusing a mind of personality or possibly into
when you have these kind of generative algorithms, if you just run the process, because it's usually deterministic, if you put a specific input in, you'll get a specific output. So in that sense, the mind of the artist is known beforehand. It is written in stone, so to speak. So in the case of philosophy of mind, it is where a certain input, you would not necessarily know what the output would be until it's done. So in generative algorithms, there is no space currently where you would be able to say that, like, you would not know what the outcome would be in terms of the math. Yeah. It's just mostly because it's federated learning, like, you obfuscate the process enough that not one person in this process or one node in this process would be able to know what the eventual artwork would look like. It's only when you bring all the pieces together that you would see this is what was created. So it's a bit of a leap to say philosophy of mind, but it's just like the people that participate wouldn't necessarily know what the final outcomes would be. Okay, one last question. Sure. Yeah.
Just a general question, if you or anyone else knows a group, a channel, a feed where crypto art and people are interested in just the blockchain in general or decentralization in general meet, share knowledge, I guess just like an open channel where people can connect and find more, collaborate, explore. Is there something like that?
Is there a place to congregate on these topics?
I wonder if it's dedicated to art or...
There's a bunch of platforms that have their communities, like Super Rare and Dada and these kind of communities. I think it would be great if there is actually like a more central one that shares and all these things. It could be. I maybe just haven't done enough research to find that. Yeah.
Do you know of any project that
utilizes
composable
crypto
collectibles to create something like this, as opposed to have it be in one level, but like a hierarchy?
Like multiple layers of... Not currently familiar, but there might be. I might have seen it, but I'm not remembering now. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.